Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
The scriptures come to us this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. We read the verses 9 through 22. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Dear friends, Article 2 of the Apostles' Creed states that we believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord. This article mentions four names for Christ: the name Jesus, the name Christ, the name Son, and the name Lord. Now, we've already considered the name Jesus. We have seen that this name means Savior. Jesus is called Savior because this is what he came to do. He came to save us from our sins. What is more, he is the only one who can do so. Not only is Jesus a Savior, he is the only Savior. Well, this morning, with the Lord's help, we would like to consider the second name of Jesus, the name Christ. The name Christ means anointed. This name reminds us that Christ has been anointed into three offices: the office of prophet, the office of priest, and the office of king. This was necessary in order to make atonement for our sins. Originally, Adam was anointed into all three of these offices. As prophet, he had a perfect knowledge and understanding of the will of God. As priest, he was perfectly holy and righteous, and offered himself a living sacrifice of praise to God. As king, he had dominion over the world and everything in it. But when Adam fell into sin, these three offices were lost. Knowledge was replaced by ignorance, blindness, error, and untruthfulness. Holiness was replaced by unholiness, guilt, and moral pollution. Dominion was replaced by slavery. Man became a slave to sin, Satan, and to death. Now, in order to save us from our sins, Christ had to restore what Adam lost. He had to be anointed as a prophet, priest, and king. This is further explained for us in Lord's Day 12 of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 31. The question is asked, why is Jesus called Christ, that is, anointed? And the answer is this. Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. Here we confess that Christ is a prophet, priest, and king in one person. What is more, he is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. There never was, nor will be, another prophet, priest, or king like him. But during the next several weeks, we will consider, with the Lord's help, each of these three offices in detail. We begin this evening with a consideration of Christ as prophet. We do so from the perspective of our text, Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19. There we read as follows. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. In this verse, the Lord predicts the coming of a prophet like unto Moses. And it is to this prophecy that I would like to draw your attention this morning. The theme for the sermon is the Lord predicts the coming of a prophet like unto Moses. And we'll consider first the identity of this prophet, secondly the task of this prophet, and thirdly the authority of this prophet. Deuteronomy 18, from which our text is taken, is part of a much longer sermon which Moses preached to the people of Israel as they prepare to enter into the land of Canaan. In this sermon, Moses rehearsed many of the laws which the people were to obey when they entered into the land. One of these laws concerned the occult. The people of Israel were forbidden to have any contact with anyone who used divination, anyone who claimed to be an observer of times, or enchanters, witches, people who consult familiar spirits, wizards, and necromancers. Nor were they to engage in such practices. Rather, they were to listen only to the Lord, who would speak to them through his prophets. Following this, Moses made a prophetic announcement. In this announcement, he predicted the coming of a great prophet like himself. We read in verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." The Lord informed Moses of this himself while the people of Israel were camped at the base of Mount Sinai. You may recall, after the Lord gave the law to Moses, the people, petrified by the lightning, the thunder, the noise of the trumpets, and the smoking of the mountain, begged Moses to speak to God on their behalf. Apparently, sometime later, presumably while Moses was speaking to God on the top of the mountain, the Lord told Moses that he would raise up a prophet like unto him. "I will raise them up a prophet," he says, "from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." In these verses, the Lord himself predicts the coming of a great prophet like unto Moses. Well, who was this prophet? Well, it was none other than his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this because Peter quotes these exact words in Acts 3, verse 22, and applies them to Christ. Peter and John had just healed the lame man in the temple. And the people who witnessed this miracle demanded an explanation. And Peter used this opportunity to preach to them about Christ. He told them that it was not by their power that this man was healed, for they had none. Rather, it was by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified. Following this, Peter says, verses 22, 23, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one whom Moses had spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. He says this, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." The prophet was, therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prophet like unto Moses. Notice how he is described here. First of all, he's described as a prophet. What is that? What is a prophet? Well, a prophet is someone who is appointed by God to receive divine revelations and to declare these revelations to the people. This was done in various ways. It was done orally, in the form of instructions, admonitions, exhortations, the presenting of glorious promises and at times stern rebukes. But it was also done visibly. Think, for example, of Jeremiah smashing the clay jars on the rocks, or Ezekiel refusing to mourn for his wife who had died, or Hosea marrying the prostitute Gomer. This is how they communicated the truth of God. And to confirm the truth of these revelations, prophets were often given the ability to perform miracles. Well, such was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was, in every sense of the word, a prophet. What is more, he was a prophet like unto Moses. Now, in what way was Christ like unto Moses? First of all, he was like Moses in his prophetic function. Like Moses, Jesus taught and expounded the law of God. He revealed to the people the will of God. He foretold the future. He performed miracles. He did everything Moses did, only he did it perfectly. Secondly, Christ was like Moses in faithfulness. Like Moses, Christ was faithful in all that he did. The writer to the Hebrews expresses this in Hebrews 3, verses 5 and 6. We read there, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house." Christ was faithful just like Moses. Whatever the Father required him to do, he did. Whatever the Father required him to say, he said. He was completely faithful. Thirdly, Christ was like Moses in his redemptive work. As Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, so Christ delivered his people from spiritual slavery to sin and death and Satan. He did this by dying on the cross. In so doing, Christ propitiated the wrath of God against sin. He took the wrath of God upon himself. And the result is, when we believe on him, that all of our sins are washed away, the penalty and dominion of sin is broken, and we may live before God to all eternity. But fourthly, Christ was like Moses in that both were of the seed of Abraham. God says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren." This implies that Jesus would be a Jew, a descendant of Abraham. And that, in fact, was the case. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, who was of the house and lineage of David, as was his father Joseph. At 8 days old, he was circumcised in the temple in Jerusalem. He was, in every sense, of the seed of Abraham. Christ, therefore, was the prophet like unto Moses. Now, to be sure, he was also a priest and a king, as we hope to see in a future sermon. But here in our text, he is identified as a prophet like unto Moses. Now, what was the task of this prophet? Well, that is spelled out for us in verse 18. God says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Here we have a description of Christ's primary task. He would speak all that God would command him. Now, this was the task of any prophet. A prophet could not speak his own words. He had to speak only the word of God. And so it is here. Christ spoke only the word of God. Whatever God told him to say, he said. Jesus himself acknowledged this in John 15, verse 15. Jesus said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And in Matthew 11, verse 27, he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Jesus revealed all that the Father commanded him to reveal. And what were these things? What did Jesus reveal? Our catechism tells us, it says this, he has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. In other words, Christ revealed to us everything we need to know in order to be saved. He revealed, first of all, that we are sinners. At times, he did this explicitly. For example, when he rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees by calling them hypocrites, by exposing their evil thoughts and intentions, by saying that they were of their father, the devil. In this way, Jesus revealed their sin, and he did so explicitly. At other times, he did this implicitly. For example, the story of the woman taken in adultery. One day, the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught committing adultery. And when they set her before the Lord Jesus, they informed him that the law of Moses required her to be stoned, and they knew that Jesus would never agree to this. So they asked him for his opinion, so that they might be able to bring an accusation against him. At first, Jesus made no reply. He simply stooped down and drew circles in the sand with his finger as though he had not heard them. When they continued asking him, however, he turned to them and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Following this, he resumed drawing circles in the sand. A few moments later, the men started to leave, beginning with the oldest. Why did they leave? Well, the Bible tells us, because they were convicted by their own consciences. Jesus never said a word directly to them, yet they were convicted. That was the task of Jesus' prophet. He convicted men of their sins. Secondly, Jesus revealed how we can be delivered from our sins, namely by faith in him. He did this on many occasions. Think of Matthew 11, verse 28, when Jesus said to the masses, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or John 7, verse 37 and 38, when Jesus stood and cried in the temple, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Or we can think of the many I am sayings of Jesus. John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Or John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And Jesus saying to Philip in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again and again, Jesus taught men that the only way they could be saved was by faith in him. This was his task as prophet. He revealed the way to salvation. But thirdly, Jesus also revealed what gratitude we owe to God for such deliverance. He did this especially in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' exposition of the law of God. In this sermon, Jesus taught us that if we are angry with our brother, we have broken the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. If we look at a woman lustfully, we have broken the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. In this sermon, Jesus warned us against making casual oaths, or oaths we have no intention of keeping. He urged us not to seek personal revenge. He taught us to love our enemies, to do our alms, to pray and fast in secret, not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, not to worry too much about material things, and not to judge. Jesus taught us everything we need to know in order to live godly lives before the Lord. This was his task as prophet, and he carried it out perfectly. Oh, my friends, how have you responded to this teaching? Jesus' prophet has taught us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Have we acknowledged this? Jesus' prophet has taught us that he is the only Savior from sin. Have we also come to him? Jesus' prophet has taught us how to live to God and to his glory. Are we living like that? Are we doing what he says? If not, listen carefully to our next point. For not only does Christ have a prophetic task, he also has prophetic authority. Our text ends by reminding us of the authority of this prophet. We read in verse 19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Here God declares that we must listen to this prophet. Whatever he says, we must do. He said something similar on the Mount of Transfiguration. One day Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain to pray. And as he prayed, he was transfigured before them. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and spoke with him about his coming death. And Peter was so excited that he offered to make three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But while he spoke, there came a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." This was none other than the voice of Almighty God. God himself urged Peter, James, and John, and all men to hear his Son, to listen to him, and to obey him. He says the same thing here in our text, only this time he adds a threat. He says, "Whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." This last expression speaks of judgment. When God says he will require something of us, he means he will punish those who are disobedient. God means what he says. In Luke 19, verses 11 through 27, Jesus tells a parable of a certain nobleman. The nobleman represented Christ himself. This nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, leaving his servants in charge. When he was gone, his subjects, who hated him, sent a message after him, saying, "We will not have you to reign over us." When the man returned, he commanded his enemies to be brought before him and to be slain before his face. The point of the parable is obvious. Those who do not listen to this prophet will be punished. The Lord himself will require it of them. And that's exactly what happened. Later in this same chapter, Luke informs us that when Jesus came near the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus here was speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem in the year A.D. 70. In that year the Romans came and besieged the city. After many months they broke through the walls and killed everyone they could get their hands on. They tore down the walls and the buildings, including the beautiful temple of Herod, leaving Jerusalem a heap of ruins. But my friends, what happened in A.D. 70 was only a foreshadowing of a much greater judgment to come. Then every single person who ever lived will have to appear before this great prophet, and they will have to give an account of themselves before him. They will have to explain what they did with the words that he spoke. Those who believed on him and obeyed his word will be permitted to enter into the kingdom of God. But those who did not will be cast into hell, where they will remain to all eternity. Oh, we learn here, my friends, how absolutely important it is to listen and to obey and to respond to the words of this prophet in everything. If he forbids us from doing something, we must not do it, no matter how tempting it may be and how much pleasure it may bring. Conversely, if he commands us to do something, we must do it, no matter how difficult it may be. My friends, what about you this morning? Where do you stand in relation to this great prophet of the Lord? Are you doing that? Are you listening to him? Are you obeying him? If not, beware, for he is coming again. And when he does, there will be no second chance. If anyone does not listen to him, God will require it of him. And that is a serious matter. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But my friends, today is still the day of salvation. Still today, the Lord comes to you. Also this morning, he says, listen to my prophet. Listen to my son, Jesus Christ. He is my beloved son. Hear him. Do what he says, and you shall be saved. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It's a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you've been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L000. That's the Banner of Truth, P.O. Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L000. Or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. For your information, these messages are also posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on the Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at 403-254-6591. That's 254-6591. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for the Banner of Truth.